This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're still standing by for the Mike McCarthy press conference. Poor guy. I mean, his team is so hurt. They weren't good, and then they got hurt. Now they're even worse. Can't rush the passer. Had no chance against the Lions yesterday. And now he's got to answer questions for about 20 minutes. Do you think he's dodging? I don't know what he's doing.
Just delaying the inevitable.
Meetings going long. Having a lot of stuff to get off their chest, probably.
Yeah, they're in a situation because they're not going to have the players around, so they're probably tying up some things. I think because of collective bargaining and stuff like that, they kind of give them a little bit more days off. So maybe they're trying to kind of make sure they have everything buttoned up that way before they get out.
Yeah. This team's pretty burnt out right now. They could use a break.
All righty. It's time now, though, while we wait for Mike for the NFL news of the day. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right. Quite the football Sunday. I wonder if he's sifting through right now, Mike McCarthy, the Jordan Schultz, friend of the show, Jordan Schultz, NFL insider, reports about Bill Belichick and all the ties to the Cowboys. He's already painting the Belichick picture for the Cowboys. So I thought that was pretty apropos. Next time we have Jordan Schultz on, we'll have to ask him about that because he was all over that yesterday. He couldn't wait to get on the Bill Belichick to the Cowboys train. With some of the reporting there, Belichick has a really great relationship with the Jones family, of course, he says. So, something to monitor, for sure. We were just discussing Dak there.
Josh McDaniels there?
Josh McDaniels as the OC.
Yeah, are you thinking about that?
Yeah, no, that stings. Like that, when we talk about Belichick, what's your staff look like, and how much control do you have of the personnel? Because that's all big questions now, even though you are the GOAT. You have proven to have some big-time blind spots. Yes, yes. The Joe Judge, Fat Patricia combo of co-offensive coordinators is maybe the worst coaching decision in NFL history, and it's crazy that it's Bill Belichick that's doing it. It's similar to Pat Mahomes KOing his own receiver. It's like the best quarterback you've maybe ever seen, but that's one of the worst possible things a quarterback's ever done on a football field. And so even the GOATs are capable of ridiculous things, and that's where Belichick is. But Prescott, we were talking about Dak, three more turnover-worthy plays yesterday. We know about the turnovers that he actually had, but leads all NFL quarterbacks now with 13 turnover-worthy plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a lot of the Tyron Smith factor, being behind as well, having to put the ball in jeopardy in order to make plays happen. We're going to get a lot more of that against anything resembling a good team.
Yeah, that's just the nature of the Cowboy offense right now. Super, super frustrating. But we look around a couple of things. You know, the Aiden Hutchinson injury yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness, the whole building stops down, and you see the replay of that. That's his. I mean,
you're at 30 points, and that thing happens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's insult to injury right there.
That's tough right there. Yeah,
I mean, they were playing their guys. That's kind of.
Oh, they were trying to. Yeah. They were trying to crush you.
They were trying to embarrass you.
Yeah,
they were. And it worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
Did a good job.
They pulled out all the stops, but the ultimate backfire is your only pass rusher is now.
Yeah.
Is now going to be.
They're going to trade for somebody.
Yeah, and that's the question. It's like, what do they go do now? Max Crosby's being thrown around quite a bit because we know things are falling apart with the Raiders, so maybe he would be a guy. We'll see.
I got an idea, Brian. I don't know what you think about this. Chief, tell me what you think. Well, Drayton Mike would be nice. That's a heck of an idea. I'll put that down for later. But no, I was thinking, if instead of incentivizing pass rushers with sacks, right, because that's why they want to be in those games, what if every time we get up so big on them and the defense has held them to, let's say, under 20 points, right? We're in a blowout. We don't want to play you, but you're like, coach, I got to play. This is my chance to get sacks. That counts as a sack, right? So every time we can do that, now you're like, cool, I get counted as a sack in my incentives, right? So you got to hit 8-9 sacks. Boom, that counts. I get to go sit down.
Okay, I like this. Every time we sit you down because we've skunked a team because you guys have been so awesome and we decide to sit you, we're going to credit you with one sack.
Or whatever.
In our personal record book, not the legit NFL box score.
That's right.
It's not going on your total tally, but you will still get financial benefit from this. I like that.
We got to incentivize these guys to get up so big and they'd be like, cool, now I can rest and stay healthy. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Not you chasing meaningless sacks in a blowout because the quarterback's running around scared, having to throw for a first down. That's not – nobody's winning here, Aiden.
Yes, and that was the mentality of their entire team yesterday. They wanted to put it on you. You're watching Jared Goff scrambling, and if you're a Lions fan, it's late in that game, and you're up by a million. You're going, what are we doing here? Why is Jared Goff running right now, putting himself at risk, especially with what you had seen with Aiden Hutchinson? But, yeah, you wonder, do they go try and make a move for Hassan Reddick, who has now just got some new representation after his previous agency decided they didn't want to represent him anymore, which doesn't say too many good things about Hassan Reddick, but he's at least a proven pass rusher. So is that a guy you want to go get? Is Max Crosby available? But that is definitely a team. When you start talking about teams that, hey, maybe you are a player here, whatever, to put you over the top, there's no question the Lions are, and your two starting pass rushers have now, with Davenport and now with Hutchinson, gone down. You have to make a move. I think they will. They've shown they're aggressive.
They will.
It'll just be super interesting to see who is that guy, but they're going to need it in a big way, because you could tell that, well, you couldn't really tell too much yesterday, because even after Hutchinson went down, it was still pressure all over the place. The offensive line was so bad yesterday, it was troubling. It really was. Now, we also have some other, there's been all sorts of injury news taking place. We'll start, Tua expected to resume playing in 2024. You have Mike McDaniel saying, yes, that is going to be the plan here as it pertains to Tua. So he's eligible to resume practicing on October 23rd. That's one of those, that's a surefire 100% guardian cap player.
Yeah.
Right? There's no excuse for it. If we see Tua jogging onto the football field at any point the rest of this season and he doesn't have a guardian cap on, that's a fireable offense. That's how you really know you're just going for the aesthetic. Like, I don't think it looks cool enough because there is no reason why Tua, he shouldn't be playing in the first place, but my gosh, that's a guy, that's the most obvious guardian cap, and it'll be the first for a quarterback. But sorry, Tua, you might need to double up on those things.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I would go to the extreme end of trying to green light and find technology that could further, defend him against that. I think you gotta really just throw all pride to the wind there, and just get the situation that most makes sense for you. You don't want to be, one of these CTE guys.
Yeah, dude. And he's already, seeing what's happening to Brett Favre right now, you can't help but be like, man, the way this ages you so fast, even if it's not overnight, at some point, this stuff is going to come back to bite you. That's a guardian cap waiting to happen there for Tua. And then I would say your Deshaun Watson stat of the day that we all saw yesterday, Browns 0 for 26 on their last 26 third downs with Deshaun Watson under center. It does feel like in some ways a bit of a made up stat, but it's not. It's real. He's so bad. The Ringer actually has an article that I'm going to sift through at some point where they have the 12 most ridiculous and disgusting Deshaun Watson stats. Because apparently, even that 0 for 26 on third down conversation is just scratching the surface on how bad it has really gotten for him. It's crazy. Will Levis continues to just be as chaotic a quarterback as you've ever seen in your life, and he ends up being pushed out of bounds on a scramble and taking out one of the ball boys. There goes an ACL. Just completely took this dude off his legs. They have to stop the game, and here comes the cart and an air cast, because Will Levis is just a wild rabbit animal. And how about Jim Harbaugh leaving the game yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm in the press box looking around going, wait, Harbaugh?
Heart problems.
Okay, so
palpitations?
He said
that right?
There were rumors, because he leaves at one point and then comes back, and apparently his pants had changed. And so a lot of people thought there was, there was some sort of accident. And it was said illness, like he was out with illness. So it was like maybe it was a bubble gut situation. He leaves, come back wearing new pants. So the allegations were there. Harbaugh crapped his pants. But unfortunately, that is not the case. He says he had an atrial flutter.
Yes.
And that his heart got back into normal rhythm after he walked off the field. He says he's 2-0 with arrhythmias, because he had it one other time when he was the coach of San Francisco.
Okay, so that's like a stress-induced thing. He's got to go chill out, maybe
I guess.
Change his pants.
Yeah,
does sound terrifying.
It does. He says that the arrhythmia, it causes the upper chambers of his heart to beat 250 to 350 times per minute.
Yeah. Real fast.
So it's a flare-up during the game. So, yeah, I guess that's a stress-induced thing, but it's interesting that it's only happened to him during a game one other time in his career, and it was all the way back when he was coaching the Niners. And again, he has monitored what his record is in those scenarios, which of course is undefeated. So there's probably a sick part of him that's like, give me this thing every Sunday, football gods.
Hey, it's an omen, right?
He's ridiculous, man.
It's like when an edible has too many milligrams and you just go for it. You don't realize it. Dude. Next thing you're like, oh my God, I think I'm about to die out here. Why is my heart beating so damn fast?
It's why have I got myself into it?
Why are you guys laughing at me? I'm about to die.
Such a bad feeling, dude.
Oh, that's right. I ate a gummy 90 minutes ago. I'm probably fine.
Such a bad feeling.
But there are gummy-induced heart attacks. Maybe I'm not.
I'm going to be the first.
I mean, we'll never forget Dion Waiters getting bit by the Noid on a team flight. Overdoing it with some of those gummies. He thought they were the classic Haribos, but they weren't.
No.
They weren't. They packed a punch.
Man, we did there must have been some delicious items.
Yeah. Yeah. We did get history yesterday, which was cool. When you're looking for silver linings, we've never seen an NFL score 47-9. But we got that yesterday.
I called Scorigami in the press box.
Scorigami. Oh, did you?
Yeah. I leaned over to Woolley. I said, "Scorigami, here we come."
Is this like shortly before kickoff, or
no,
like
this was like in the third quarter?
Oh, okay. Said, you just had that feeling.
Shortly before kickoff, I told my brother-in-law. I said, "Man, if the Lions are sharp today, they could score 50."
Yeah.
And at halftime, I was like, "What did I say, dude? Look at this."
Well, shout out to Big Tolo Mark Bristow, who on Twitter yesterday before the game said, "Give me Detroit 47-10 today. Hope I'm
way wrong."
And he's gone viral because of it.
That's badass, dude.
So shout out to old Bristow for getting that thing called up. And, man, I am impressed with Broadus because, once again, I've now seen the other side of him where we're in studio with no one around during a Cowboys game, and I see the way that he reacts emotionally to certain things in frustration. But his ability to just keep it cool, calm, and professional in the press box during an onslaught, an absolute disaster class from top to bottom, and he was just keeping it pro the whole time.
I do think that's more evidence that press box, it'll grind the fun out of a sporting event. You know,
I have a hard time. That's why I've watched most every football game I've been involved with from the field.
There you go.
Because I can't deal with that.
It's too quiet. Yeah. It's like you're at a stadium, but you're in the library part of the stadium where you can like hear the computer monitors humming while an exciting football game is going on. It's the most odd thing.
Yeah, dude, it gets so quiet in there. Unless, of course, the Packers are there for a playoff game, and then they start.
Then they do this.
Oh yeah,
they beat on the tables. Yeah.
Yeah, that is something
very unprofessional.
Still gets talked about to this day. The press box was on fire yesterday.
This is a working press box, and we'll ask that we please do not cheer.
Yeah.
They make that announcement. But the Packer people, that's kind of their tradition. They'll bang on the table when something good happens to their...
That's their MO? That's their move?
That's what their move is, yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are now, 42 minutes and counting late here for Mike McCarthy for his press conference.
Mm-hmm. Is he fired?
I don't know. Should I reach out to some people and ask?
Yeah.
Just say, what's the holdup? You know, yeah. just say, what's the holdup for our guy Mike? We'd certainly love to know, but things across the board were obviously tough yesterday for the Cowboys, and
maybe the Joneses want to celebrate like a huge concessions day, you know, yesterday or something. They probably made tens of millions of dollars.
They made
a great day up there.
They made plenty of money yesterday, and they did not shy away from some of the things that made them feel good about what took place yesterday. They have no shame, and we will get to some of that because it's worth discussing. Pretty ridiculous there, but also ridiculous. We have a couple of things from Philadelphia, and what Nick Sirianni, my goodness, dude.
Is he going after the Philly fans?
Yes, he was going after his own fan base because, of course, they're extremely...
Are they booing?
Yeah, they were, and understandably so. You're scratching and clawing off a bye versus the worst quarterback maybe we've ever seen in Deshaun Watson and a broken Browns team. And guys like me and Dawson and Walchuk had him in Survivor. They're supposed to be 9.5-point favorites. And with 3 minutes left in the game, we're holding our breath.
Yeah. You're trying to kill the clock?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
And then Nick Sirianni's yelling at his own fan base because they're yelling at him. And then he's like, you know, I like when my guys celebrate and I like when they get fired up. So why wouldn't I? And then he goes and sits down, and he brings his kids with him, which is it's so overdone now.
Is that so nobody asks him any bad questions?
That's to the point. Well, that's the allegation, yeah. And I think a lot of people are at the same place they are with that as they are. This is like the Kirk Herbstreit dog in the booth, like kids at the podium.
Yeah,
it was cute the first time. All right, maybe the second time. At this point, we don't need to see this anymore. Everybody thinks it's cool to have their kids come sit up at the podium. Not that cool. Daddy's working right now. All right, I'll see you in 5 minutes. Hmm. I mean, put some damn pants on and run the show. Are you the alpha or not?
I'll get you a one time per family. You know, because your kids want to have that moment of virality, and so they can look back on YouTube when Daddy was a big star or something like that.
But yeah, maybe after a practice, maybe it's training camp, maybe it's family day at OTAs, and everybody's running around with ice cream, and here's my kid on my lap. It's an innocuous day in June.
I do think it's hilarious though, just how emotionally weak Sirianni is. You know, he can't hold his water while he's walking off the field. He's dragging his kids up there to protect him from the big bad media, and we knew 12 months ago this guy should have been fired. They brought him back. I'm surprised Howie Roseman, my guy, the best GM in the NFC East, is fumbling this decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looks awful right now for the Eagles. Now, don't tell that to Lane Johnson. He says the offense isn't bad. He says we're just constipated right now. It's an offense. That's what it bleeping feels like. So, I guess offensively they're one good poo away from maybe just clearing things out and getting back to going the way they want to. You overdo it with the cheese. Maybe we need to send them. Maybe Ooh. We need to send them some of your Metamucil fiber things.
That's dude. Right. Yes.
Get the whole squad on that. You're in Philadelphia, I'm saying if you want the Eagles to do well, that's probably a move that you send that to Lane Johnson's locker.
Cowboys are constipated too, though. I'll just keep them right here.
Yeah.
They're simultaneously constipated and also they have nonstop uncontrollable diarrhea.
They do.
And they just
it's a bad place to be.
Ass all over themselves. They feel like they're constipated, but it's just pouring out of them.
I was going to ask you about the lineman burrito, but not after that statement you made.
Yeah, when we get to best of the weekend, I was going to do I almost did a wellness check on you last night, because of the Cowboys game, but just how did the 17-inch tortilla sit in those guts of yours?
I only eat half that thing.
8.5 inches worth of tortilla, excuse me. It was probably still, I mean, that thing, that burrito, that burrito. Legends was Hospitality. Was that 2.5 pounds? That was a 2-pound burrito,
It was like a brick. It felt like a brick wrapped in foil.
And somehow they found a way to jam more flavor in there than you ever thought could be possible.
It's crazy how good that was, though. But you could only eat half of it because it was too much.
It was delightful as anything I've ever had inside of a ballpark or stadium. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's right up there with the Mott sticks at Globe Life Field.
Is that the best meal that they brought us, you think?
I think that's the one seat. You know how I feel about about the pizza burger?
Yeah.
That thing's special.
Yeah.
But that lineman burrito at a Cowboys game, I mean, that's when you start talking about silver linings from yesterday. If you were one of the handful of people that got the lineman burrito at the game, you walk out of there, of course, you're disgusted by everything you just saw, a constipated team that's simultaneously essing all over themselves. But you can take solace in that burrito, can't you, Bratis?
I'll tell you what.
I did.
That was when it was amazing how heavy it was.
I know.
When you picked it up.
I know.
And then I handed it to Ruben, and I'm like, gosh, dang.
What was it, 3-pound burrito? 2-pounder?
I think it was more.
Wow.
More.
A loaded 5-pounder.
It was 17 inches of tortilla with mac and cheese, jalapeno cheddar sausage, brisket, candied jalapenos. Yeah.
Did you guys share this?
No. We each got our own.
Wow. Yeah.
We each got our own. I didn't eat the rest of the day.
Yeah,
I had that, and I just got home, and I didn't even eat. I could.
You don't eat when you're in the bathroom, because I presume that's where you were residing.
It was really good.
972 says Sirianni brings his kids to press conferences. So does Jerry. That's a good one.
That's good.
Okay. 877-881-1053. We're back with Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral from game day and post game as we are still standing by for the Mike McCarthy press conference. This is amazing. Is he going to waddle up there or is he going to waddle out to his car never to be seen from again? I think there's a little bit of drama here at least. Okay. And we'll give you the exciting conclusion coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. 56 minutes and counting. Mike McCarthy late for his Cowboys press conference. Is he getting bleep canned? We'll play you what Jerry Jones said about the idea of moving on from McCarthy last night as we open up Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team. Maybe he's not getting fired. Maybe he's trying to get fired. Like, you know, you might as well move on from me now. Maybe he's not getting fired, but the front office is livid with his lack of emotion on offense, lack of innovation. That would be awesome. You know, either one of those things would be interesting. Segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. What are you hearing, Brian?
Sounds like that they might, their meetings might run a little long. That's just kind of some speculation from, I actually just text Scott Agolnick, the PR guy, and I asked Scott, I go, hey, what's up? Didn't you ask me, what did you say? What did you want me to say, Eric, over there? Did you want me to say, hey, what's going on or what's up?
Why did he move up his press conference and then be later than he usually is?
I asked, and Scott says he's kind of thinking that maybe the meetings ran a little long. So
Bobby just texted and said, I don't think these are sunshine and lollipop meetings. Mm. It's crazy because we know how much Jerry loves the sunshine.
Yeah.
Just getting all up in his players' eyes and whatnot. Not that he's getting fired, though, says Bobby. Just believe he's gotten an earful today.
Wow.
So, sunshine during the game, but not during the meetings. Lollipops either, which you know is pissing McCarthy off right now.
Would you ask him that question? Would you say, hey, is this a difficult meeting for you today, or was this not a lollipops meeting today, or something?
Yeah. I think you try and gather what was the nature of the meetings that had you over an hour late to your presser.
Yeah, you know, I think this is fascinating. It's obvious there's a lot of passion. Something unscheduled had happened, and I'm not comfortable ending this meeting right now. I'm going to go talk to the media, but dang it, we're going to hash this out right now. And I know they're comfortable making us wait 10, 15, 20 minutes, but this is the longest wait for a head coach I've ever experienced with covering the Cowboys, covering any team, Brian.
Yeah, I think it's really kind of unfortunate for Mike in a way because of the fact of how yesterday went. So now...
Yeah,
there's even more speculation about that. But
yeah, I don't think if they won, we'd still be waiting.
No,
we'd be well past this.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, let's take a listen. Last night, here was Jerry Jones with the assembled media outside the Cowboys locker room talking about the possibility of a coaching change. Here's Jer.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, I'm not considering that.
But you've done it. Don't I
wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Yeah, you know, in that situation, it's an uncomfortable idea. It would obviously have set off a tremendous media alerts and bells, and hey, here's Jerry Jones considering what it would take to let go of Mike McCarthy. If you're that sensitive to it, it's amazing that the next day he's an hour late now, 29 minutes and counting, Brian.
I don't know which reporter asked that question.
I couldn't recognize that. Was that Cole
from?
It was Kolb. Jeff Kolb.
Okay,
from Fox 4. Super nice guy. Wolchuk introduced me to him in Oxnard.
I think when he tried to kind of follow up with Jerry, I think that's when Jerry got a little bit more upset. Like, that's when he said, well, you think I'm a fool? You know, that kind of, you know. I think, he did the right thing to try and follow up because he said, well, wait a minute now, when... You know, you had an embarrassing loss and you know, your team looked like it didn't play hard tonight. You made a change in that Green Bay game. Is it not in consideration at all? And I think that's what Jerry got upset about, that he was about to go a little bit further.
Wouldn't let him finish it.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
You know, I think Jerry wants to carefully manage that story and the life of it. And, you know, he was trying to be clear on what it was. But you go back to 2010 and after that Green Bay game where they were 1-7, this is 3-3, significantly different. Yeah. But he did hold the line very aggressively then. And up until the moment that the news was announced that Wade Phillips was gone, he showed no weakness there. It was just something that he would not consider doing. But, you know, he didn't say, he didn't really clarify that Mike McCarthy's job security was not going to be considered. You know, last night there was a lot of bluster in there and a very strong answer, but never did he say we're not going to talk about it. And, you know, it, if you know you're going to let go of the guy at the end of the year, maybe it might be in your best interest to see what the team would look like with somebody else having a bigger say. Maybe they want to explore what Brian Schottenheimer on his own would do, or, you know, or what Mike Zimmer might have in mind. I, you know, I don't know. But if the only way I'd move on, Brian, is if it gotten toxic. And I just, we haven't heard that, right? Like if the, yeah. if the head coach's relationships with the other coordinators or with the players has gotten so bad. And as a matter of fact, Dak, you know, had nothing but support for Mike McCarthy. He said his belief in Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy, said the man he is, the preparation that he puts into this, the leader, I'll go to war for that guy, with that guy every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one in that locker room. I feel like everybody feels that. If you heard what he said after the game last night, not something that I care to get to let in you guys, honestly, but strong message in a loss to be able to feel that way and show those emotions and respond, I'll follow him.
Well, somebody, who is it? We were doing the post game and somebody came out and said, and some of the audio we played about that everybody needs to look in the mirror, you know, that one of those things. I would hope that Mike McCarthy and the coaches would also look in the mirror too. You know, this is just as much on you as it is on the players, you know, and what I hate to keep hearing, and this is again, not getting to work at, you know, work with the Cowboys, 'cause you don't know this, of how the practices are going.
Yeah.
You know, are you really, is every T crossed and I dotted, and, you know, are we getting everything? Because what happens is you've got players continually come out and talk about that. Oh, we need to work harder. We need to practice better. We need to, you know, need to get in our books and all that. I mean, it, to me, it's, that's kind of some damning discussions right there. If, you know, on a weekly basis, you're, every time there's a blowout loss, you're talking about, we need to practice better. You know, that's on the head coach right there for scheduling those practices and making sure that that everything's implemented to how it needs to be done.
Yeah. And there's definitely some evidence, some plays of just clearly not being buttoned up.
Yeah,
some obvious moments where you're like, okay, either these players just have no idea what they're supposed to be doing, or the design on some of this stuff is about as bad as it gets.
All righty, at 877-881-1053, the 214, he has to support Mike because he's playing like crap. I mean, he played bad yesterday, but under that amount of pressure, I don't know if any quarterback in the NFL could have won that game, period.
Definitely not won it, no.
I mean, in the Giants and Steelers game, he made some great plays. Okay. yeah, everybody's got to look at that man in the mirror.
Mm.
We have a Cowboys...
I'm an idiot.
We have a Cowboys fan vomiting on the concourse while a Lions fan gritties past them.
Oh,
that has gone viral.
Oh my goodness, man. Yes. That video is
a lot of engagement there.
Oh,
not a good
man.
Look, Cowboys fans.
No, I guess. I mean, it's second to being KO'd at the game, right? Probably.
Ooh.
Like, you obviously don't want to have the other fan and you're on video being in a fight as an adult and getting KO'd in a game, but when you're on all fours in the concourse, just vomiting up all your bad decisions from the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And, or maybe it was just, maybe she hadn't consumed anything other than watching the team with her eyeballs.
Yeah.
That'll put you on all fours.
So it was
dry
a lady
eating.
Fan?
It was a lady fan. And then the insult to injury is there is a very happy Detroit Lions fan doing the gritty dance. Yeah. But he's not the size of like a wide receiver. This is a big man TD celebration.
Yeah, I reposted that at G-Bag Nation.
I got to go see it because I want to see if somebody's holding her hair. I want to see if she's got somebody that loves her.
There is.
I got you, girl. Go ahead. Let it go. I'm going to hold your hair, baby.
Just in the middle of the concourse, bro.
Hey, when it hit you, dog.
Oh, yeah. No, true that. Yeah.
She couldn't make it. I gotta go to.
Somebody is holding the hair on that. That's a great question.
That's love, right?
That's
there,
a
bro.
Great question. Yeah, it's one of her girlfriends. Yeah, it was a ladies' day at the ball yard, and
see, if that was my girl, I'd be like, get up. You see how many people looking at us? Get up. Go to a trash can or something. My God.
Yeah, find a corner
somewhere.
I can't
take you anywhere. I spent $350 for these these tickets.
And then here comes David Montgomery jersey. If he didn't embarrass you and your team enough in the game, here comes Montgomery doing the gritty right there, just feeling fantastic about himself. That is hilarious, dude.
Man, sorry about that. That's a tough look right there. Cowboys fans.
Is that the pregame, you think, is hitting her? I've been drinking all day, getting ready for this game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The 325 start was the end of her. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe the tailgate. Tailgate, little
shots,
heat.
Shots.
Tailgate, had to walk up a bunch of stairs.
I bet that's how Mike McCarthy feels looking at this roster these days. He was asked last night about help. He said, we aren't going to get any help. We don't need any help. Don't want any help. We just need to stay after it, keep working, and I'm very confident we'll come out on the other end.
You're lying. You don't want help, dude.
Yeah, we don't need it. We don't. I mean, come on, dude.
You definitely need it. If you don't want it, that's fine, but you need it, bro.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thankfully, the bye week is here. Not a day too late, as at least you'll get Micah Parsons back and see how much he can help. But it's a game against the 49ers that are getting healthy right at the wrong time for you as well. Okay, will Mike McCarthy's press conference start? We're an hour and 7 minutes past the scheduled time after he moved it up to 2:30. Quite interesting. It's time for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking it, Brian?
Yeah, I'll talk to you about the film review that I had from this morning. We'll do that next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. The Cowboys have apparently rescheduled the Mike McCarthy presser for between 4 and 4:30. Salute to Clarence Hill for posting that to keep us updated.
You scared? You scared?
That's right.
Stop acting like a... You scared?
Can't wait for this presser. Maybe the most anticipated Mike McCarthy presser in a while. In the meantime, it's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. Appreciate Reliant for being a part of this as well. Thanks to all the folks that kind of came by and said hello to Eric and I yesterday. In the pregame show and then in the postgame show, everybody called in and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it was wonderful.
Everybody,
it was wonderful.
I'm sorry the game was so poor for everybody.
Broadus is the mayor of the Miller Lite West Plaza. Everybody just walks up to him. They want to thank him. They want to hug him. The men, the women, everybody's a fan of Broadus there. And they can't wait to take their picture with him. And Broadus is obviously very accommodating.
No, you're you're very accommodating.
Well, I have to make up for the fact that you are ignoring them at every turn. And so I just want to try and make sure that they had a good experience.
I just want to thank
you. As your translator.
I appreciate you being as enthusiastic as you are about that. Because, like I say, I was so worried about the Falcons messing that game up. I was kind of watching it on my screen.
Just stressing out.
I was stressing out. I'm like, please don't let me.
That's two in a row for you? That's
two in a row.
Nice job,
how about
Brian.
That?
The Survivor Pixel do that to you, man.
Make you stress out. But no, thank you to everybody that did stop by. Really appreciate that.
Salute.
Eric appreciates that because he's like one of the nicest human beings in the world.
During the middle of the broadcast,
he will jump up and like shake somebody's hand and, you know, like, well, he's.
Kiss a baby, you know, whatever it takes.
Actually, he is a great guy.
Do you think there's any chance between 4 and 4:30 when we cut to the presser, it's Jerry and Steve up there?
I don't think there is.
Dang it.
I don't think there is. I think they would make an announcement if that was the case.
Introducing Bones Fossil.
That very well could be. All right. What I saw in the game film this morning when I got up to watch it. Sometimes you can watch film and you're like going, hey, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad, but this wasn't the case. There was a lot of bad in this game. I'll say this, though, on the plays I'm about to go through, I think that, to me, there were a couple of throws that I know that they were designed to try and take advantage of some things with the Cowboys. The throw that Ferguson missed that went down the field.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The rollout to the right, and then Dak throws it back to the left side.
You think it's going to be kind of that the boot, the waggles, when they drag, they usually drag a tight end, but they drug Lamb, so you're thinking, okay, and I couldn't figure out why he didn't throw the ball to Lamb quickly, because it's like they set it up, because on the right side, they had Ferguson as an in-line or along the line of scrimmage next to the tackle. And he runs like a delay, like he's kind of delaying, and then he takes off going from right to left all the way to where he ended up. So they're going to try and run him through the secondary over. And so it was really, I was like, man.
You think it was designed to Ferguson?
It was designed to Ferguson because the way that Ferguson delayed and then the route and then when Dak set up to get the ball back to trying to get the ball back to Ferguson, I'm thinking like, man, this is one of those things that, you know, he's
YOLO balling
it a little bit, but Ferguson had a chance to still make that play.
He should have.
He got tied up with Anzalone, the linebacker, but he had an opportunity to make the play. But that
big
was
dog tight end needs to make that grab.
That was a design play. You know, the way the route was executed, and they kind of used CD as a decoy to make sure that they got the route all the way across the field.
Well, I guess credit to Anzalone for being all over it.
He did. All right, the deep ball to Tolbert that we all kind of talked about, that the sun was involved in that play.
Yes.
I don't know if the sun was really more of a factor. I think the biggest factor in this is that Martin got beat by McNeil, the tackle. I mean, that was, to me, more of an issue here.
Well, that was an issue all game.
Yeah, because if you watch the play, Prescott, he really couldn't step up to throw this ball or get enough on that ball. That was all like an downfield, the route, all arm, you know, no step into it. And so Tolbert had to wait on it, which allowed Bedore, the corner who had come in the game, to defend it. So if Dak has the opportunity, if there's not pressure in the middle of the pocket, Dak will have the opportunity to probably step up and launch that thing well down the field in order to make the play. And yeah, the sun was it as I sure because the ball was short, and we kind of see that. But if Dak had the ability to step up, I think that's a touchdown because of the way that Tolbert was able to separate, but Bedore got to catch up because the ball hung on him.
Yeah, he'd come back to it, but I mean, it still hit him right in the breadbasket. It felt like it something like, that it came on him quicker than he thought because the ball was lost in the sun for a second. Yeah.
I think he tried to adjust his hands low because he was so far ahead of the play. And when he put his hands down, it went right through his hand. So he kind of tried to adjust to that. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for him there. I want to say something about the Flournoy fumble in this game.
Oof, pretty disappointing.
Yeah, really disappointing. It's a really good route by Flournoy to come back to the ball. And, you know, but after the catch, he's really unable to switch. He's got the ball on the inside arm, and he's unable to switch it to the outside one in order to he's unable to switch. So the ball's inside to the field, and he needs to switch it to his outside arm in order to try and maybe prevent, because both Arnold and Branch both punched at it. So with him running, the ball was to them, you know, and they're punching at it. And Arnold misses it, but then you see Branch get it. But if Flournoy could have switched the arms to the other side, they probably wouldn't have been able to punch the ball loose. So, you know, young guys got to learn, hey, you get in traffic in the NFL, these defensive backs are going to go after it. They're going to try and hammer it. But he's got to be able to switch the ball next time, I think, and then he'll probably.
Then you have a stiff arm hand, too.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say this about the let's go to the Williams touchdown against Diggs in this game. We talked about that the Lions really hadn't thrown the ball down the field very much. They weren't a deep shot team, you know, and they took a couple in this game and made big plays out of it. But Williams' touchdown on Diggs was. This, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Goff on this because he notices that the Dallas defense is struggling to line up. They're kind of in that mode where they're kind of muddling around. The secondary is kind of trying to get to where they need to be. They haven't got the call. And Goff notices this and he went quick count. And they were in a trips bunch formation to the right. And Diggs, he tries to once again get his hands on Williams off the line, but he couldn't slow him down. So
he whiffed, basically.
He whiffed. So now Williams kind of fights through that, and everybody's picking up guys, but then there was just too much separation after the missed jam there was a separation, and Williams was able just to carry up the field. Diggs was in trail, and then all of a sudden the ball goes right over the top of him for the touchdown. But that, I give Goff a lot of credit on that one, to be able to say, hey, this defense is not set. Now I'm going to take advantage of it. Give me the ball. Let's throw it. And as soon as Williams broke off the line and Diggs missed him, it was going to be a touchdown. How open that thing came.
Yeah, I mean, his speed is lethal.
Yeah,
and Diggs off the ACL, not 100%.
Not able to do that. Okay, I thought this was a great call on the double reverse pass. We've kind of talked about that a little bit. It's well designed and it's well executed. Laporta did a really nice job of selling the play as a blocker before going up the field. I mean, he is blocking, and then he releases. They caught. I believe they had the safety Hooker. Hooker was kind of eyes in backfield, but was trying to figure out which direction he needed to go. I think they got overshown on this one. I need to ask somebody in the organization that maybe they can help me with this one, but I think they got overshown with his eyes too in the backfield, because he felt like that he was the guy that ended up going when Laporta ran up. He kind of ran with him thinking like, oh, that's my guy. Because Hooker was trying to play another route. I think this was overshown, got caught trying to find the ball. And then Laporta was able, and then it was the double reverse and all that action. And then the ball went down the field for the touchdown.
Did a heck of a job leading his receiver, you know.
He throws the ball well. Yeah. He really, really does.
Some of these plays that would just stop. I feel like if Dak was throwing to open players, they'd have to come back for it and be like, okay, that was a good 20-yard gain. But Laporta never has to slow down. Maybe the throw makes him a little bit faster as he's got to reach for it.
Yeah.
You know?
The Lions in this one took advantage of the Cowboys flowing to the football. And I mean flowing with the linebackers and the movement. There were a couple of misdirection plays where Goff showed the ball front side, like, okay, ball's going to be here. And then that kind of allowed their blocking to develop. And then the ball went the opposite direction and they were able to get the edge. Had a couple of big runs off that where ball fake this way and then turn and almost like a scissors. They went one way and then came back the other. It got all their blocks set up. They did a really good job of handing the ball off and making that happen. This Lions, offensive line's one of the best you're going to play this year. It's incredible how well they play on their feet. They're never on the ground. They're second level blockers. They were really, really a big problem for this Cowboys defense to have to deal with the whole day.
Multiple times where the entire unit on the defensive line is all seen getting up off the ground as the play is coming to an end because they've all been pancaked.
It was pretty impressive how they run block. And the ability to stay on their feet. We've seen how the Saints were able to do it, and the Ravens were able to do it. Man, this is different, though, with these two backs that they have. They're going to be a hard out. You know, I know they got hurt on defense because they lost Hutchinson, but this is a team that's going to be a hard out because of all the things that they're able to do on offense. They're capable of putting a lot of points on the board, even not having a full-strength defense. But, man, I'll tell you what, it was a really, really impressive area. Cowboys had some opportunities, couldn't get that done. Pressure, I think, was a big problem in this game, and folks will see that when they watch the tape themselves.
It's amazing to watch the next-gen stats recreations when they just give you the numbers inside the circle, and it really helps visualize how the change of direction got the Cowboys defenders like massively out of position.
Yep.
And how you could watch that and not think we need to put that in our offense, I think would be my top question for Mike McCarthy. Press conference was scheduled for 2:30. It's gone long, now scheduled for somewhere between 4 and 4:30. So we believe we'll get the Mike McCarthy press conference when we return, but a little bit of a sports hodgepodge between now and then, Chief?
Yes, sir. Best sounds from the sports weekend featuring Romo Redemption and the Red Rifle doing the funniest thing possible next year in the nation.